Good morning. If you're with us for the first time, or maybe you've just been checking us out, we welcome you. We're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you feel welcomed and a part of what we're doing here. And if you're someone who has been a disciple of Jesus for a long time, and you've partnered with Northeast, and you've just consistently been devoted to community, we thank you, and we thank you for stepping into the mission of God as we understand it here at Northeast. Some exciting news this morning. Katie Cornelius has decided to officially partner with us here at Northeast and to join the mission as we understand it here at Northeast to reach our community and wants to officially identify with Northeast. So if you will, join me in welcoming her this morning. So as we get started this morning, I want to make a confession to you. It was a long time ago as I started stepping into the mission of Jesus myself. I felt a little uncomfortable with inviting people to church. And that seems like something weird that a preacher might say to you on a Sunday morning. All right, aren't you supposed to encourage us to do that? But if I'm honest, I was uncomfortable. Now, I wasn't ashamed or afraid of talking about Jesus, in fact, and I'm not bragging at all, but I did that quite a bit. But in the context I was in, and this isn't to put down the village I grew up in, the faith village, if you will, a community and church, but there's just a certain things that I was worried a guest would experience if I had brought them to the church that I was currently in at that time. And to be fair, I was in high school and maybe didn't think about it in the most mature way. But at the same time, there was that angst, that nervousness of what would happen if I invited someone to come with me. What would their experience be? Now, in defense, as I think about myself as a high schooler, in my defense, I had some reasons to think so. In fact, on one occasion, I may have shared this with you before, but on one occasion, there was a young lady, and she was carrying her Bible with her in our congregation. We were really serious on which translation you used. We cared more about that than whether or not you followed Jesus. And so this man comes up to this young lady, snatches the Bible out of her hand, and checks which translation she was reading. And to make sure it was the right one. It was not. And so he proceeded to tell her about that. On another occasion, I remember we had some guests come in, and you know, it all looked like it was going really well. And there was this man, he was leading them down to find a pew. That is, until they went to go sit in a certain seat, and he said, "Oh no, that's where so-and-so sits," and then took them to another seat. And so maybe you can imagine then why I had some nervousness about bringing some of my friends to church and what their experience might have been. Now, I can't claim that I was perfect in that. I was actually part of that culture as well at that time, because that's how I understood it. But as I look at that experience, I don't say that to put down people who had an impact on my faith. In fact, part of the reason I'm standing before you is because of the impact that preacher of that church had on my life. Overall, wonderful people, good people. But there was a feel in the congregation and in leadership that our purpose was to get the Bible right, to get faith right, and after that, we've pretty much arrived, and it's about maintaining the status quo. And in their case, there's a lot of energy and time in maintaining the building that we met in. And it was kind of neat, but at one point, they actually invited some of the teens to come into their meetings. We didn't have a former eldership, and so there was a meeting of men who got together to plan the needs of the church and to plan what needed to happen next, and they actually brought us in. And I'm going to come back to that towards the end of the lesson, but it was very eye-opening to me. And it taught me that we had this culture of maintaining what we had rather than trying to be inclusive and bring people in, draw people to Jesus. And I'll come back to that here in a bit. But ultimately, what I came away with as an early high schooler was we didn't give much thought to how people how to welcome people in, how to invite people in to community. And as I think about that, I must admit to you, maybe you felt that way before. And I must admit, even now, many, 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 many years later, I don't always get that right. Maybe you, at times, have been nervous about inviting people into your church, whether that was somewhere else or whether that was here. Or maybe you're worried about what that young blonde preacher is going to say on Sunday. But we all have reasons that maybe we have angst. But as I think about Northeast, I think we do a really good job. If I could brag on our church for a minute, I think we do a really good job. But we can always take continued steps in that area. And I don't always get it right. When I think about what I'm going to say on a Sunday and I think about what we're going to talk about as a church and study through, and I talk to other leaders in our church and other people and get input. But as I think about those things, I really do try to preach in a way that includes the unbeliever in the room, that includes people who are far from God or people who have walked away from church. Like, I have them in mind. I don't always get that right. And my apologies to you if you ever bring someone in and maybe I don't say something as bold as you think I should have said it, or I wasn't as sensitive as maybe I should have been. We're not always going to get that right. But we as a church need to have this heart for the mission of God, as we've been talking about in this series. In realizing that ultimately we want people to be drawn to Jesus. Now, as I transition that thought, I want us to keep in mind, as we talk about inviting people to church, we're talking more about just getting people to show up on a Sunday. That the mission of God's bigger than, and I say that in quotes, is bigger than inviting people to church. That as we have highlighted over and over again in the last 6 weeks in this series, that the mission of God began in the beginning of creation, where God created male and female, humanity, created in his image, in his likeness, and he gave them a mission to be his partners in the world as they have right relationship with him, to go out to bring goodness, his goodness on earth as it is in heaven. And ultimately, we failed at that in the fall, and what we see in the garden. And since that point, God has been restoring his mission as he restores us in right relationship with him. And he does that by drawing people to him one person at a time. And that mission ultimately climaxes and reaches a crescendo at the point when Jesus became flesh, dwelt among us, and he gives a call out to his disciples. And he says, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men," in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And that same calling stands for us today as well, as he calls us into following after him. And based on this verse, what that means and what we've been talking about is finding and following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, joining the mission of Jesus, which then ties to our mission and purpose here at Northeast, which is love God, grow deeper, share Jesus. You know, and this is a little extra. I wasn't planning on saying this, but I was listening to an audiobook this week about setting good habits. And it was talking about that the ultimate way to reach goals is to not focus on the goal all the time, but to focus on the process. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times when we've been part of church, it's been all about reaching a certain number, or reaching or being financially stable, or having so many in attendance. And none of those things are bad. Those things are all good, and they can be good metric points for what a healthy church might be. A healthy church grows. A healthy church is generous. But I think when we make it about those goals, we forget the process. And actually what Jesus calls into, he says, don't worry about the outcome. God takes care of outcomes. He says, but you need to be committed to the process of consistently finding and following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, joining the mission of Jesus. The rest is in God's hands. The rest is out of our own. But we show up week after week, be committed to this process of becoming more like Jesus, and God will take care of the rest. But as we've been talking about, jumping into the mission of God, we've been defining what that looks like here at Northeast, and talking a bit about that. And we've talked about going and doing, showing up and serving. We've talked about go and tell. Right? There comes a time where we need to actually share the news of Jesus with our friends and with our neighbors and actually talk about Jesus. It's not enough just to be servant-hearted and just to have a good example. But at some point, we need to speak up and to say something about Jesus. But this morning, we look at this invitation Jesus gives, as you saw on the screen at the beginning, come and see. I want to jump into that as we think about what it means to invite people to church and what this invitation Jesus has of come and see and how we can better understand our role in inviting people. So in John chapter 1, verse 37, Jesus, he calls two disciples. It says these two disciples, they were disciples of a man named John, who was actually cousin of Jesus, who was preparing the way for this teacher who was sent from God named Jesus. So John was preparing the way. And so these two disciples of John heard Jesus speak, and they followed Jesus. What I kind of find funny about this passage, and when you think you follow Jesus, they gave up their life. They forsook everything to follow after Jesus. But the writer, John, actually means this in the most literal way. It says, then Jesus turned and seeing them following. Like, Jesus didn't even call them. They just heard of him, and they were kind of trailing behind him, following him. And so in a very literal sense, they follow Jesus. And he turns around and is kind of, okay, what are you guys looking for? What are you searching for? What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say when translated teacher, where are you staying? In other words, they're saying, we want to go with you. We want to be with you. We want to learn from you. We want to become like you. They were intrigued by the way and the teachings of Jesus and wanted to know more. They wanted if you come after a rabbi and want to follow a rabbi, you're saying, I want to become just like you. I want to learn from you. I want to learn your ways. And so then he invites them. He said to them, come and see. And what's interesting is they don't go to the synagogue for a service, but instead they go to the home that Jesus was staying in. It says, and they came and they saw where Jesus was staying, and they remained with him that day. And so we look at this cycle, find and follow Jesus, being changed by Jesus, join the mission of Jesus. Right? They were striving to follow after Jesus. They wanted to be changed by him. They said, let us just be in your presence. And that's exactly what they did. They just remained with him that day. But then they too were called to then join the mission of Jesus. And so as we've talked about, go and do, go out and go serve. And that's so important. We do that in so many ways. We've been talking about ways that you can do that here in Northeast. Go be a good example. Go build credibility among the community. Show the love of Christ to others. That's so important. We've talked about go and tell, which is to go out, speak something about Jesus. Tell people. There's information that needs to be passed on. There's more than information. We want people to be transformed, not just informed, but it starts knowing who Jesus is, knowing what he teaches. People need to know about that, and we need to tell them. But then this idea of come and see. And that's what Jesus did with these two disciples. He called them to come and see. And so what we need to see, our role here is this, is to invite people into community to encounter Jesus. All right, don't just invite people to church. And I hope you know what I mean by the quotations there. As we talk about, that's become slang for us, is to go to church. Right? Don't just invite people to church, but instead invite people to what that word originally brought to mind, which was a gathering, a community of people gathered together in the name of Jesus. So invite people into community to encounter Jesus. And a great rule of thumb we've talked about through this whole series is this, is that invite people to sit around a table before you invite them to sit in a pew. And listen, if we don't get that order right and the first thing that they agree to come to is a pew, we can take care of that. But then we invite them to the table. But this point is one of priority, is that it's not just enough to say, oh, we've boosted our attendance, we've got more people coming, but we're inviting people to what church really was meant to be, which is community. And Jesus modeled that as he invited them into his home. They spent time together. They built community. And then we're told in John 1, verse 40, that one of the two, his name was Andrew, that he takes this personal, and who had heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he says, and he first, after being with Jesus all day, he found his own brother Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and says, and he brought him to Jesus. Just as Jesus had invited the two disciples and said, "Come and see, come and be with me." Now Andrew had taken it as his responsibility then to go out and to say to his own brother, "Hey, come and see, we found the one we've been looking for." And he brought him to Jesus. And as they say for Peter here, the rest is history. But it started with this invitation, "Come and see." Andrew's brother invited his own brother back into community to encounter Jesus. As we think about our mission and this pressure around this idea of inviting people to church and the awkwardness and the nervousness we may experience, and sometimes, as we've pointed out, sometimes for good reasons, we're nervous to do so. But when we just simply recognize that our job is simply to lead people to Jesus. It's not our job to secure people who will be lifetime churchgoers or lifetime volunteers. That's not the mission. The mission is to merely lead people to Jesus, and Jesus takes care of the rest. But we have to create those opportunities for people to do that. And there's lots of opportunities for that. One of our jobs in stepping into the mission of Jesus is to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. God's going to open the door. He's going to make his own opportunities. But as we join the mission of Jesus, we are also creating opportunities for people to encounter Jesus. As we look at all that's going on here in Northeast, and we think about how do we invite people to come and see? What's that look like? We look at all the opportunities that we have to invite people to various ways in which they can connect to community to then encounter Jesus. There's going to be people who I know, I don't think they mind me sharing this, like Doug and Sue. They hear the message. Doug and Sue Price, Doug is one of our elders here. They heard the message of Christ on the radio, and then they got plugged in community. Right, that's going to happen. God's going to work all kinds of ways, but we realize one of the primary ways that this is going to happen is first we invite people into community, especially in our culture where people are starving for friendship, are looking, there's chronic loneliness in our culture today, that we can create opportunities, invite people into community, and it's within community they can encounter Jesus. God's going to work other ways as well, but as we see it, as so far as it depends on us, right, we create those opportunities. And there's a lot of ways, of course, and inviting people to be part of our Sunday gathering, and that's not a bad thing. Don't take my comment about sitting in the pew as something meant to be derogatory. Just saying that's not the only way and that's not the primary way we invite people into community. But when we invite people to be a part of what we're doing Sunday morning, that's a great way. It's a celebration. We're coming together, praising God together. And we see in 1 Corinthians 14 that the hope is that people will see that God is working among us and that they will worship him when they come. But that's not the only way. We can invite people in a smaller gathering, like our midweek gathering, which will be starting back up here in the fall. Another great way to invite people into community, to say, come and see, be part of this community, is to invite people into your life group. Right? Always, our life groups are great for building community amongst ourselves, doing life with people, but it's also designed to be a way that we invite people in. And if our life groups become too exclusive and too just about building relationships with one another, we miss an opportunity to invite people around a table in a really important way or in a living room rather than merely to a pew. And that's just one more way that we can invite people in and to be a part of the community that we have. Other opportunities that we have here at Northeast, it could just be inviting people into your home. Being part of what you've got doing, being part of your life, whether it's just going and getting coffee with one another, inviting people to dinner, inviting people to watch the Super Bowl, right? Inviting people to watch the Olympics, whatever it might be, just inviting people to do life with you. And then through that, build a relationship where you can talk about Jesus. Another great way is an opportunity to tell people, come and see. is to invite people into the service projects that we have going on here at Northeast. And so many of you have already been doing that, and it's kind of stimulated my thoughts of what an awesome opportunity for us to invite people in. Whether that's to invite a guest to take part with you at City Gospel Mission, not just merely saying, hey, we've got this opportunity for you to go serve downtown, serve the homeless community downtown. It's at this time, this place. Hope you'll go and serve. But saying, hey, Andy Huntoon, one of our deacons here, he's leading a group on this date at this time to go down to City Gospel Mission to serve. I'm going. Will you come with me? If I came and picked you up, would you go down and serve with me? It's an opportunity not only to do good, but to serve alongside one another, build community, and in hopes that they'll encounter Jesus. And the same thing goes with Matthew 25. And the same thing goes with our work with Stewart Elementary when we go and do work over there, or work with Focus on Youth, or the various projects that you'll see us doing throughout the year. Those are all opportunities for us to partner and build community with those far from Jesus in hopes that they'll encounter Jesus. And then, as we said, our gatherings, whether that's Sunday morning gathering, midweek, life group, or big events like Vacation Bible School, or Fall Festival, or our Christmas Eve service, or our Easter service, all those things, we can say that those things are for us, where we get to have community together. But we need to start viewing them as, yes, we get to do that, plus we make room for others. We're able to welcome them in, and we're able to reach out, invite them into these more, or at least for a couple of those more fun activities, but it's more than just candy and more than just Easter eggs on our Easter egg hunt we do every year. But it's about developing community, creating opportunities for people to come in and to be a part of community. And there's other opportunities throughout the year, whether that be the game nights we do every so often. You see in the Northeast News, right, invite a friend of that. Whether it's the Euchre nights or whether it's the other fun activities we have going on through the year. There's going to be other opportunities for us as we think about what we did at Vacation Bible School, where we had some experts come in and talk about technology and parenthood. And that was a great opportunity for us to meet a need in our community. And people came, I think, and were benefited from that class. Right? We're kind of thinking in the future we'll do sort of those smaller events where we have someone address an issue of a seminar on a weekend, and we address an issue that our community has need of answers for. And create those opportunities. Those are all opportunities. Hey, just come and see, be a part. And maybe the information isn't life-changing, but it's inviting people into community, meeting needs, serving, but inviting them in to community with the hope of them encountering Jesus. So, I've said this once, I'll say it a couple more times before we wrap up. Don't just invite people to church, invite them into community. Look and search for those opportunities. And I believe that if we do that, people will encounter Jesus. Now, this one is extra. But as we continue to shift our focus here at Northeast to this mission, to this initiative, to go and do, to go and serve, to go and tell, to come and see, as we shift our focus to inviting, not just inviting people to church, but inviting people into community, I can't help but encourage us that we have to make room. That it's not just invite people and expect everything to happen, but we need to give intentional effort, as we do here at Northeast, by the way, to not just be an exclusive group, not to have cliques where we only do things with the people we like the most or we relate to the most and we look like the most, but that we be open and make room for more room at the table for people to come and have a seat. And that's important. And as one of our leaders, Charlie Hughes, often says, that's not a problem to be solved. That's a tension to be managed. We're never going to get that right where we have this, where we've got to, okay, we've made room. What happens? Then the room fills up and we've got to make more room. As I go back to my early experience in high school with church and some with church leadership, you know, as I kind of had the spark for mission. I wasn't perfect. I didn't do well. I turned some people away, if I'm honest, from Jesus, and I regret that. I wish I could have done better, but I had the spark that I wanted to help lead people to Jesus. I started studying with friends and had this excitement in stepping into the mission of Jesus. But I remember that it felt like that was a bit against the grain. There was other people who were trying to lead people to Jesus, but it was against the grain of this culture that had been created of maintaining the status quo, of simply defending what we had, protecting what we had, rather than viewing and imagining what God could actually do through us. And I tell you this story because it's kind of funny, because I was invited, some of the high schoolers were invited to take part in those leadership meetings I told you about. And I really applaud them. Like, what a wonderful initiative to disciple young leaders, invite them in to be a part of what was going on. They gave us a seat at the table, which was kind of neat. Like, they made room for us in their meetings. However, I think the intention was, come, be quiet, learn, you get to see how the business of the church runs. Now, if you've ever been in a meeting with me before, you know that I'm not one to not share my perspective. And so I remember being an early high schooler in that room, and everything was about the building, everything was about the logistics, everything was about maintaining the status quo, getting to where we needed to go organizationally rather than missionally. And I remember probably not 15 years old, and I remember speaking up one time, and the room went silent, like, oh, he's actually talking. He wasn't supposed to talk. That's not why we brought him here. And highlighting that fact that I felt like we always talked about logistics and never talked about mission. And I'm telling you, I just got blank stares, and I probably should have just stayed quiet. But again, it was this culture of not making room, not giving an intentional effort. And this goes way beyond simply making room in our church building. But I can tell you, and this is a flaw on my part, but I remember, there's probably immaturity on my part, but I remember there almost being a tension in my heart as I was trying to lead people to Jesus, but knowing the conversations that were happening in that leadership room. And there was almost this tension. I was very young at the time, but wanting to lead people to Jesus, but thinking, but like, what if people actually respond? And what if people get baptized? And what if people start coming to church? We might have to expand. Oh man, the men at church are not going to like this. And just thinking, it almost discouraged me. It was an immaturity, but I allowed that to be a barrier for my own self, being worried about what people were going to say if we started experiencing the problems of growth. Because making room is much more than just making room in square footage, but it's making room by accepting others, by welcoming diversity, by being willing to allow others in the room to have a voice. And that's difficult, that's hard, but that's what it looks like to make room. And as we invite people to come and see, this needs to be our heart, to make room. A couple years after I graduated high school, I was interning at a church that was on mission. And they had a tagline, and that's always stuck with me. Their tagline, their motto for their church was, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more. And if you go to their church building, there really wasn't room for one more. Like, legitimately and logistically, it was difficult, and they were trying to figure out how to make more room, and they ended up doing a church plant in order to do that, to make room. But that was the attitude. There wasn't room. It was a logistical nightmare at times to have a fellowship meal. But there was this attitude in this heart, there's always room for one more. That needs to embody our hearts as individuals. That needs to embody the heart of any church and their leadership and their vision to go forward. Because that was the heart of Christ as he left the 99 and all of our needs and all of our wants and how we think things should be done in order to reach the one. And then it was the 99's responsibility to make room for that one to return home. And I think we do that incredibly well here at Northeast. But of course, like any church, there's always more steps to be made. More steps as we go and do, serve others, love others, show people the love of Christ through our example and through our acts of kindness. As we go and tell, as we invite people in our home, are able to share the message of Jesus, the message of gospel, of the gospel with them, perhaps for the very first time. And as we invite people to come and see, because this is a wonderful community. In fact, I just invited one of my friends. He actually reached out to me looking for service opportunities, and he came and he was part of one of our service opportunities this week. And it's with joy I can tell you that I had no nerves about inviting a friend into this community, because I believe that this community, the Northeast Church of Christ, has that heart of our Savior, which is there's always room for one more. And by the way, he had a wonderful experience and enjoyed serving alongside of those who are part of that activity. But that's what we're moving towards. That's what we're going to, is the mission of Jesus to draw people to himself, one person at a time. We create opportunities, we make room, and people will encounter Jesus. I don't know where you are this morning, whether you're someone who you've been following Jesus for a long time, and maybe this week is have this a conversation about scripture as we do every week. Maybe there's stuff weighing heavy on your heart. We want you to know every single week you can respond to the invitation, if you will. To the invitation, there's a prayer room there on my right, your left. If you exit the auditorium and there's a shepherd in there ready to receive you, where you can go in a private room and just talk about all that might be on your heart that maybe you don't want to share with 300 of your closest friends and family. But maybe you're here this morning and you want to make a public confession, or you want to confess Jesus as King before other committed disciples of Jesus who just want to do what we've been talking about, find and follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. We invite you to do that this morning as well. And we'll celebrate with you, we'll sing with you, and we will make room. Please come while we stand and while we sing.